All this week, we've been talking about bullying. Joining us to conclude our series is Emily Bazelon. She's a staff writer at the New York Times Magazine and a fellow at Yale Law School, and she wrote the book, Sticks and Stones, Defeating the Culture of Bullying and Rediscovering the Power of Character and Empathy. She spoke with Here and Now's Peter O'Dowd.
Normally, we have you on to talk about the Supreme Court, but you also have this expertise in bullying because you wrote this book 5 years ago now. What's changed in that time?
You know, what struck me when I was writing my book was how anxious and nervous and fearful a lot of people, especially parents, were about bullying. Partly, I think, because of the internet. We were still, as I think we still are, but more in an earlier stage of trying to figure out the effect of the internet on our children's lives. You know, none of us grew up going online and being on social media in particular in the way that our kids do. And so since I wrote my book, I would say that I think some of the anxiety has died down. Hmm. It's become kind of more a part of normal life. But I think that the issue of bullying still is useful in the sense that it taps into people's desire to help kids in a way that cuts across all kinds of normal barriers. You know, bullying is a problem really for any kind of group of kids in the country. It cuts across race and class and where you live and gender. And yeah. So in a sense, it can kind of bring people together, although I realize that is a funny thing to say about such a hurtful problem.
Sure. And I do want to talk about the role of technology in bullying. But before we go there, let's talk about just big picture. How much of a problem is it in the United States? Are there figures on what percentage of kids are bullied at school? What do we know about that?
People have been asking questions about how many kids are victims of bullying or involved in bullying in some way for decades. So we do have data. And what it shows is that, you know, somewhere between maybe 15 to 20 in the low 20% of kids experience being bullied, if you define it in a pretty broad manner. And then you have another set of kids, a smaller set, but, you know, a fraction that bully other kids. And there are kids who experience both of these things, who mm-hmm. sometimes act like bullies and sometimes are victims. One thing that's interesting about the data and surprised me when I was first learning about it is that the rate of bullying has not gone up. We see kids bullying in different domains when they go online, but it doesn't mean that the overall percentage of kids who are experiencing cruelty or harassment has risen.
So even with the rise of all of this technology and social media, you're saying that the problem is just as prevalent as it was before all of the technology. But what about the tech companies? Clearly, that is an issue that is at top of mind for them. I mean, are they doing enough to stop it?
No, they're not doing enough. I think that in some sense, it's hard to say what enough would be because they've created a platform in which bullying is so easy. And what I mean by that is that, you know, when people go online, they don't have the same cues to empathy that they have when they're having a face-to-face interaction. And they also can be anonymous. Mm. And then the kind of whole setup of how you push send or write a quick post online, that lends itself toward impulsivity, which is a particular issue for teenagers in terms of the way their brains develop. And so we've, in essence, designed a world by accident in which it's easy to be mean. We see that all the time online. And the tech companies, on the one hand, they have rules, right? It's not just like free speech the way it would be if you were walking down the block. It's much more like being in a shopping mall where there are certain kinds of behavior and harassment that can get you into trouble. But that doesn't mean the tech companies really want to police for that kind of behavior. There is an overwhelming amount of data coming through their platforms. And so to a large degree, they have kind of sat back. They wait for people to make reports. They do or they don't follow up on them. There's a big gap between the rules that they have about harassment or hate speech and what they actually do when it's happening.
Well, plus you mentioned this key word, empathy. A tech company, how could they possibly help promote this idea of empathy online? It seems like a huge challenge.
It is a challenge. I mean, there are some things they could do. They have algorithms where they can promote certain posts over others. They could try to design an algorithm that, you know, looked for cruel words and move those posts down, or even if they just saw that you were typing something, sent you a little note asking if you really want to send that insult to someone else, right? There are things they could do, but they would be changing the experience of using these kinds of platforms. And for the most part, they have been very reluctant to do that.
Well, First Lady Melania Trump met with tech industry leaders earlier this week at the White House, and she addressed her critics who said that the First Lady is really in no position to talk about cyberbullying while President Trump uses Twitter to lob insults at his opponents.
I'm well aware that people are skeptical of me discussing this topic. I have been criticized for many commitment to tackling this issue, and I know that will continue. But it will not stop me from doing what I know is right. I'm here with one goal, helping children and our next generation.
Emily, what do you make of what we've heard from the White House about bullying?
You know, Melania Trump is trying to turn a weakness into a strength, but if she wants to do the most to address bullying, she should talk to Donald Trump about the example he's setting for kids, because there's no question that in some, you know, intangible way that is hard for us to measure, kids are affected by what they see adults around them doing. And when someone like Donald Trump uses incredibly harsh invectives on Twitter, kids see that a whole social norm is changing and that the way that adults in very venerated, dignified positions speak to each other sounds, you know, meaner than things they might say to each other in school. So, you know, there's just a problem here for the White House.
It's also a reminder that bullying is not just a problem for kids.
That's right. I mean, we've sort of all been treated to a couple of year-long lesson on bullying from Donald Trump. And one thing that strikes me over and over again watching Trump, and this very much translate to the schoolyard bully, is that when people try to stand up to him one-on-one, it doesn't work. They get dragged down to his level, and he's able to come up with insults that stick more than they are. The way that people defeat bullying is by banding together. It's by making it clear that you'll be shunned if you act this way and that nobody likes your behavior and that it's not actually a route to social power. We have not seen the Republicans in Congress. I think it's really Trump's own party that needs to play that role. We have not seen them doing that. And as a result, we have a bully who is changing our political landscape.
Well, so speaking of solutions, over the course of the series, we've looked at some of the things that people are trying to do here. We talked to a Sikh coalition about bullying that targets religious minorities, and we've spoken to a former bully who's now working with kids at school. I know you've looked into some programs to get a handle on this. What works? What doesn't?
What works is really when communities come together. So, you know, often when I'm talking about this issue, someone whose child is being bullied will say to me, like, what should I do? What's your advice for someone who's been a victim? And, you know, we can come up with personal strategies, but really the whole community needs to come together and send a message that bullying is not the route to social power. You know, when kids are asked, though, about bullying, do they like it when other kids bully? What do they think of this behavior? They almost universally say that they don't like it at all. And so when kids understand that other kids view what they're doing as repellent when they're acting like bullies, that really turns them off. That helps reduce the level of bullying in the community.
Is there a role for Congress or state legislatures here?
Congress, I would say not so much. I don't think we want to have a national law that seeks to address bullying because it really is such a local, granular issue. There are state legislatures that have tried to make sure that schools are addressing this problem, and I think that most of that legislation is well-intentioned. How effective it really is, I'm not sure. You know, we're talking about the most intimate kinds of human behavior, and adults are not especially good at intervening in kids' social lives, so there are just a lot of challenges here for how you can actually legislate the problem of bullying away.
That's Emily Bazelon. She's a staff writer at the New York Times Magazine, a fellow at Yale Law School, and she wrote the book Sticks and Stones, Defeating the Culture of Bullying and Rediscovering the Power of Character and Empathy. Emily, thank you.
Thanks so much for having me.
And we've been getting a lot of comments about this series on bullying, and joining us now to share a few of them is producer Chris Bentley. Chris, what have people been saying?
Well, we got a lot of reaction to our conversation about bullying among people of the Sikh religion. Simranjeet Singh heard it, and he tweeted, "Listening to this piece makes me appreciate how resilient the Sikh community is and how important it is for us to transmit that trait to our children. Gabrielle Aquino writes on Facebook, "The issue is unchallenged white supremacy, toxic masculinity. These men are ticking time bombs because no one taught them how to process their emotions, not just because they were bullied."
And the Sikh religion dealing with bullying a lot more than many others because of the dress that they wear. A lot of people shared their personal stories with us. What did they say?
That's right. One of them was Ben Opie. He writes, "I was bullied by a group of classmates, mostly in elementary school, though it followed me through high school. I can remember the first and last names of my core fourth grade bullies, but couldn't name for you another classmate. When you're on the receiving end, it stays with you. I have no idea if any of my tormentors feel any remorse in retrospect. If I had to guess, probably not. It was just an amusement for them." And Catherine Gogol left this comment here at nod.org. "Schools should incorporate a monthly session that helps children and adults, the teachers, administrators, janitors, etc., have confidence to stand up for themselves and others. As a schoolgirl, I often stood up for others. I was not one of the popular pupils, but I had a sense of what is right and not right. I would have benefited from guidance on how to deal with bullies."
So some comments there. You can leave more at hereandnow.org. Producer Chris Bentley, who also, along with Rachel Finlayson, produced this series on bullying. Chris, thanks.
Thanks a lot.